Hello and welcome to the Food Connections podcast, the podcast that connects you with the food you eat. I'm Dr. Laura Wyness, a registered nutritionist with an interest in all things related to food and nutrition. I love learning more about the food we eat, how it's made, and getting to know the people involved in making our food. This episode is all about hemp. Once widely grown in Scotland for its strong fibres that were ideal for making ship sails, fishing nets, and ropes. But as steamships took over and synthetic materials replaced natural twines, the demand for hemp faded. In recent years, the value of hemp is being rediscovered as a crop that has many environmental as well as nutrition and health benefits. In this episode, I'm joined by Ali Eason and Professor Wendy Russell. Ali is originally from Yorkshire, but has called Scotland home since 1991, after meeting her Scottish husband on a wheat farm in Australia. Ali spent many years in general agriculture and more recently working in precision farming before starting up the Hemp It Up business a few years ago. What began as a small venture selling hemp oil, soap and logs at local markets has grown into an award-winning company producing hemp oils, protein powders and soon their own range of farm-made soaps. Ali has been collaborating with the Rowett Research Institute as they look towards scaling up hemp production. Professor Wendy Russell leads the microbiome, food innovation and security theme at the University of Aberdeen's Rowett Institute, as well as the sustainable food system and supply theme for the Scottish Government's strategic research programme. Her research is dedicated to transforming the future of our food system, making it healthier, more sustainable and more resilient. She focuses on developing supply chains with an emphasis on future protein provision, unlocking the potential of underutilised species to enhance food security and improving both biodiversity and dietary diversity. Wendy's work explores innovative ways to reformulate foods and repurpose overlooked resources to make the food system more sustainable. I hope you enjoy listening. Welcome to the Food Connections podcast, to Ali and Wendy. How are you?
Oh, we're good. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for the invitation to join your podcast.
Not at all. And Ali, how are you?
Yeah, all good here.
Now, Ali, I think I was introduced to you through a mutual friend. So it was Ruth Watson, who is a writer for the National newspaper, who I've helped with a few articles in the past. And she suggested that you'd be a great person to speak to about hemp, which we did have a chat a few weeks ago. And it was fascinating finding out a bit more about what you do on the farm. So have you had a busy day on the farm today already?
Yes. Well, John's always busy. I'm kind of doing my own thing. But yeah, that was very good of Ruth to do that and link us up. She's a great ambassador for all things healthy.
And Wendy, we've known each other for a wee while. We've been working on another food project. I know you've worked on lots of different food projects, so it's great to hear more about your research as well today.
Yeah, fantastic. Really happy to share.
So shall we start with you, Ali? First of all, can you tell us a bit more about the farm and the hemp, or I guess what type of farm firstly you have, and how did you get into growing hemp in Scotland?
So we are a small mixed family farm based near Kirriemuir in Angus. It's about 550 acres across two units. And the farm is run by John, my husband, and his brother, Fergus. So we grow on the farm seed barley, malting barley, and because we've got a suckler herd, so we've got about 70 breeding cows, we need quite a lot of grass. So we've got a lot of permanent grazing and temporary grazing, which we put into silage to feed them over the winter. And of course now hemp. So we grow at least one field of hemp every year to keep my business going.
And how did that start? Where did the idea come from?
So I was working for a precision farming company. So soil health and reducing inputs, doing everything GPS was very much on my radar. And we got the opportunity to grow hemp from actually one of my director bosses at that company was one of the farmers that was going to grow hemp, and they needed 10 farmers and we were the 10th farmer to join the group. So that was in 2021. And we all sort of went into it knowing that, you know, it might not work, but we want to grow the same variety, same amount every year, so that the Rauwer Institute could do lots of R&D projects and tell us all these amazing facts about hemp.
And I suppose that's where Wendy comes in, because Ali, you've been collaborating with the Rauwer on research. So I guess, Wendy, what kind of research have you been doing on hemp in particular?
Yeah, so our hemp journey has been a little bit longer. We started working on hemp maybe 13 years ago. We were looking at sources of alternative protein that we could grow in Scotland. So it was things like pea and faba bean, buckwheat, lupin and hemp. So we ran a lot of human studies to see how effective they would be at replacing some meat in our diet so we could reduce red meat consumption in Scotland. And hemp was the absolute star of the show. From a health perspective, it benefited sugar metabolism. It reduced hunger because it actually impacts on GLP-1, which is really topical at the moment when you think about the sort of fat-reducing medications that are around at the moment. And it was also really high in many nutrients, high in protein, high in fibre, high in a lot of the micronutrient elements that we need. So we knew it was a really important crop from a health perspective, but we also knew it was an environmental champion in the fact that it sequesters more CO2 than trees, it remediates land. When you grow it in rotation with other crops, it improves the yield the following year. It can grow with less fertilizer and pesticides, and it needs less water. So, you know, it's something we really wanted to see in the field. So it was wonderful when we got in touch with Ali and some of the farmers who had got together to consider growing hemp. I think at that point, Ali, you were thinking about growing it for AD purposes, maybe, and there wasn't much consideration about it as a food crop. And we were really excited to have a conversation with everybody around the table at the Rauwer to look at the economic opportunities. And it's been a really exciting journey since then.
It sounds like it's obviously got benefits for health and nutrition and the environment, so a kind of multifunctional crop. And has it been grown in Scotland in the past, or is it a new thing?
No, it has been grown in Scotland in the past. It would have been grown predominantly as a fibre source for a long time in Scotland and throughout the UK. I mean, Hemel Hempstead was the great hemp fields of the UK. It's a real historic crop, but it was obviously pushed out through legislation relating to drugs or to, you know, to cannabis, in which it belongs to the same family. And I think it was a real disappointment that that happened, because it meant a lot of the plastic polymers came into industries like fishing. So if we'd continued to use hemp as a fibre, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have with plastics in the oceans at the moment. So, you know, it could have had even stronger environmental profile if that hadn't happened. But more recently, around about the 1990s, there was a farmer in Scotland, Sir Henry Ackroyd. He grew it as a fibre crop. He was wanting to use it for insulation and for building materials. But at that time, those industries weren't ready for sustainable materials, and he couldn't guarantee fire retardantness or longevity. So that wasn't successful. But now people are really keen to have hemp as insulation in building materials and hempcrete. And that industry is really strong. It's particularly strong in Europe, with France being the biggest producer at the moment. But that's also an industry that's growing in the southern parts of Scotland.
Okay. And just to clarify as well, because I know people probably question, it is different hemp to the hemp that some people smoke, perhaps. Is that right?
Absolutely. This is agricultural hemp, which has really negligible amounts of THC. So you could smoke a whole field and it wouldn't get you high.
Okay. And so, Ali, how challenging is it to grow hemp in Scotland? Is it quite a good crop to grow in our climate and our soil, or how does it perform as a crop?
So there's a few things that we need to get right. First is the seedbed. Because we can't spray for weeds, we can't put any sprays on, we need to make sure that it's not challenged by a weed burden right from the get-go. So we need to manage the seedbed. But generally, it grows really, really quick. You know, we just need to get that seedbed right and don't sow it too early. So farmers are really, really keen when they see the neighbour sowing. It's like, right, come on, let's go. But we really do need to sort of go middle of May, because the first 3 years we grew it, we had great results. And we weren't really overly challenged with anything, apart from a little bit of a fungal disease towards the end. But then the fourth year, we grew a different variety. And we had a really cold May, so it was quite stunted and it didn't get off to a good start. In which case, the weeds got a hold and we just hardly had any yield. So that was poor. It was very disheartening. But once it's in the ground, we can't do anything with it. So, you know, we just have to let it grow and then just hope that the weather's good. So then this year's crop has been a good crop. So, yeah, it likes drier weather, doesn't really like wet weather. It quite likes a nice free-draining soil because the roots are quite strong and it's very rapid in growth. It can manage in drought situations because its roots are going a bit deeper to find moisture. So generally speaking, it's pretty easy crop to grow.
And then how long does it take to grow so it's ready for harvest? Is it a couple of months?
So we sow it generally middle of May and we harvest it middle of September. So it's pretty much 4 month crop. I believe the fibre varieties, all their energy is going into the stalks and they're not really looking to ripen seeds. They would maybe cut that after 3 months. And it's a different aim, really, looking at the fibre and the strength of the fibres, so they cut it early. So, you know, if we had infrastructure in place to manage the fibres better in Scotland, which we don't have at the moment, for a lot of farmers on the West Coast that have got a lot of wet weather to deal with, you know, maybe a fibre crop might be suiting them, you know, in a few years' time once we've got over these challenges with equipment.
And so you're harvesting it for the seeds. How do you kind of process the grain when you harvest it?
So we grow a seed variety, which is quite short in comparison to the other fibre varieties. So it means that we can use the same equipment that we use on the farm that we use for spring barley. We just lift the combine table up so that we're just taking the seed heads rather than all of that stalk going through the combine. We have tried taking more of it through, but the combine and the combine driver don't like that. So we don't do that at the moment.
You don't want a combine breaking down.
No, absolutely not. No. So what we do is we then have, as soon as it's combined, we get it into the dryer. We dry it nice and slowly, not too hot. We then have it checked for moisture somewhere else just to make sure that we are down to sort of 8% moisture. And then we get it dressed, so clean all the chaff out and any impurities, and then we analyse the seeds and it goes then for cold pressing. So currently we don't have our own press, but that is to change hopefully this winter. And then once it goes very cold pressing, we end up with a beautiful green oil. It's really like nothing else I've seen. And it's crystal clear and all of the solids is filtered out. And we've got a byproduct, which is similar to soya cake, I think. And it would be a great alternative in animal feeds and a superior one at that, I believe. And then we keep that stored in shipping containers on the farm. And then we put that through the mill. So that's how we make protein powders. We've got some different sieves there so that we can alter the amount of protein and fibre ratio. So that gives us oil, and we've got some infused oils. So we've got a garlic, a chilli, a basil. We've got the extra virgin. We've got proteins. And we have started recently going into hemp hearts, which is the seed without the shell on. So that is proving to be a really, really versatile product.
Yeah, many, many uses. I do like the hemp hearts. Actually, just a sprinkle of that on my breakfast cereal or yogurt in the morning. I find it a nice flavour anyway. So lots of products. What about the nutrition of these? I'll come to Wendy for this. So what would you say is from a nutritional perspective for the oil or for the other products?
Yeah, so the oil is an absolute fantastic product. It's superior to rapeseed oil and olive oil because it's really low in saturated fat and it has the perfect ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 for human health. So instead of being an unhealthy fat or oil, it's an extremely healthy product. And, you know, people would really benefit if we swapped over from rapeseed and olive oil to hemp oil. It would be a huge benefit to the Scottish population. But the cake is also, a cake and the hearts are very valuable products. One of the things that we know is that the Scottish population find it very hard to have a healthy diet because the choices they need to make are almost impossible in the food environment we live in. So we've been working closely with one of the major bakery suppliers in the UK that supply all of the supermarkets that people buy things like white buns, oat cakes and in Aberdeen, the Rowie. And we've been reformulating them to make them more healthy, but just as affordable and acceptable as the original product. And Murdoch Allen, the company we're working with, have been using the hemp products, both the flour and the hearts, to do the reformulation. And it's a fantastic way to get highly nutritious food out to the population. So that's been really successful. But the other important aspect of the hemp cake, which is a byproduct of pressing the oil, is it can be used as an animal feed source. In the UK, we're really dependent on soya imports into the UK, and we buy that from Argentina and Brazil. And there's legislation coming down the line to stop people buying from countries involved in deforestation. And also there's a huge demand for soya from China. So we're in a situation where we're really at risk if we don't have homegrown protein sources. So the really interesting thing about hemp cake is that we can replace soya in animal feed. And we've run a trial with Duncan Farms, who are an egg producer in Scotland. We replaced the soya with hemp cake. And from a nutritional perspective, the interesting thing was that the eggs produced when the hens were consuming hemp cake instead of soya were double in omega-3 and double in vitamin E. So not only are you working towards a net zero egg, you're also having a much more healthier egg, which is another important staple in Scotland. So instead of just getting the benefits from the oil and the cake and the hearts directly, we can be feeding it to livestock and decarbonising that sector, but also producing healthier products. And we were thinking if we'd replace soya with hemp cake in dairy feed or in broiler feed, that we could also improve the quality of the milk and maybe the fat content in some of the meat in those products too. So there's a lot of benefits to have there. And by growing it at scale to meet that sectors, we could reduce our emissions in Scotland. Just for the poultry and pig sector, we could reduce our emissions by up to about 6%, which is a huge reduction.
Gosh, it does sound like quite an amazing food product. And certainly when I was developing the Scottish Eat Well Guide a few years ago with Nutrition Scotland, and the oil section, the fats and oil section, we kind of put in the rapeseed or cold pressed rapeseed oil, but we hadn't heard that hemp oil was on the scene or emerging. But maybe when we revise that next time, we can add in some hemp oil, because it's a heart healthy oil from what you said.
Definitely. And I think you would find in that programme, it would be a really valuable product to add in.
Yeah, and great to hear as well about the healthier rowies or butteries being produced.
Yeah, so we're at the moment, we're working on a replacement for palm fat. So palm oil is a really difficult commodity to remove from baked goods because it's solid at room temperature. And working with Murdoch Allen, we've managed to replace almost all of the palm fat in oat cakes. And we're looking to see if we can also improve the rowie without changing the taste. And I think if we did change the taste, it would be for the better because, you know, the butter that you make from hemp hearts is absolutely delicious.
Interesting. And I mean, you said it was a high protein crop or product as well, and high fibre. So that's two nutrients that fibre in particular, we definitely need more of in the diet. With, I think the stats show that only a few percent of the population are meeting the 30 grams a day of fibre that's recommended. So in terms of the protein as well, I'm interested to hear, is it a high quality protein from hemp?
Yeah, so we ran human studies looking at all of the alternative protein sources, and it brings the additional benefits, obviously, of hemp and micronutrients. And although we were comparing it to animal protein, and it is lower in some of the essential amino acids, but when we looked at the postprandial availability of the hemp amino acids compared to meat, they were almost identical, with only a couple of exceptions where it was slightly lower. So I think it is a very good all-round protein source, and I think it could be a really useful addition to the diet.
And you also mentioned in terms of sustainability, and obviously that is a very hot topic with the recent update of the Eat Lancet just published, and obviously attention on meeting climate change targets. So how can a hemp crop, maybe if we grow in Scotland, how can that contribute to meeting those sustainability targets?
So I've already mentioned that growing it in order to meet the feed sector could reduce our emissions by up to 6%, which is a significant reduction. But there's also some work done in Europe where they looked at off-farm biodiversity of hemp compared to other staple crops. And they found that crops like barley, wheat and apples were very low in off-farm biodiversity indices, whereas hemp was right up at the top with things like afla-afla and ginseng. It was a global study. So, and hemp is a real star when it came to off-farm biodiversity. So I think not only can it help our climate, but it could also help us protect nature. And I think if we can reduce things like soya imports into the UK, we're also benefiting climate change in that way. Another interesting part of the project on hemp, I'm working with my colleague Madelina Netshu, and we've looked at taking the rest of the plant and developing a compost that could replace peat-based compost as a growing media, but also coir. And we ran a trial with Castleton Farm growing strawberries, where we replaced coir that they currently use with the hemp-based compost, and it was just as effective. So that's another really sustainable product that would help us meet those climate targets in the UK. So it really is an important win-win when it comes to health and climate. We also used it as a filler for burgers. So we made hemp burgers, and instead of the sort of wheat filler that's normally in burgers, we used a hemp filler, and they were absolutely delicious. We took them to the Royal Highland Show and they were extremely popular. So we actually had a high fibre burger. So for people who don't want to get their fibre from fruit and vegetables and are big meat eaters, you can actually get fibre from a very tasty burger. And that burger would have a much lower carbon profile than a traditional burger. So again, another health and climate benefit in a meat-based product.
Gosh, yeah, it does sound good. And I guess, Ali, from a farming point of view, have you noticed differences or any benefits from growing the crop in terms of biodiversity or as a sustainable crop?
There's lots of benefit. The insects love it. The deer, I see deer on that bit more than any other field on the farm. They like it. It's a really good break crop. So for farmers that are struggling to get organic matter into the soil, we don't have a huge problem there because we've got cows on the farm, so we've got farmyard manure. But for some purely arable farms, the amount of organic matter from the stalks that's going back into the soil, that is a real bonus there. So the following year's crop is really high yielding, or certainly more yielding than it would be in a normal rotation.
And when you say break crop, what do you mean by break crop?
So for people that are growing continuous barley or wheat and they want to bring in another crop, just to reduce disease and things like that, to give the field a rest and go in that same variety.
And am I right in saying, or you maybe mentioned that you use less fertiliser, artificial fertiliser, because it fixes nitrogen in the soil, is that right?
Yes, so before we sow a field of hemp, we always dung the field before it's ploughed. We make sure that it's not low in pH, so it's had lime somewhere recently. And then it's sown and rolled, and that's basically it. So we might add a little bit more fertilizer just on the same day that it's drilled, and then that's it. There's nothing else. So there's no chemicals licensed for seed varieties. I believe there is some for the fiber varieties because it's not actually going to be an edible crop. So really, once it's in the ground, you just leave it for 4 months and then just wait for a dry day.
Okay, so what do you see as the kind of future of hemp in Scotland? Should we be growing more of it? Should we be encouraging farmers to grow more hemp? Are we ready for hemp revolution here?
Well, certainly from my end, I'm sure Wendy's got a whole reel of answers there just to come out with. But certainly for me, I would love to see the beginnings of hemp seed cooperative. I would really like Scottish Government to offer some support to give an incentive to farmers to grow. You know, it's capturing carbon, it's reducing imports because of the crop there is. there's just so many benefits, really, but we need to scale this up to actually make a more immediate benefit nationally. So we do need some support there with infrastructure. So we'd like to see a little bit of support just so that we can get the seeds, you know, to get hemp moving.
So is that the infrastructure to process the seeds?
Yeah, I should probably explain that a bit better. But so for us as farmers, we have got quite a lot of analysis costs. We want to keep it separate from other crops in storage. So moving forward, if we were dealing with larger quantities, we need a storage facility so that when farmers are growing hemp, they follow a growing best practice. It's grown to a certain spec. And then it's stored in the same facility. And then we can do batch analysis. So again, reducing analysis costs. And as well, I think farmers need a little bit of security. Who's going to pay them at the end of the day for this crop? So if we've got hemp as different ingredients going into staples, bread and feed rations, then, you know, they're guaranteed that they're going to get paid. And that's it, really. If they know that they're going to grow it and somebody's going to pay them, then, well, yeah, why not? But at the moment, there's nobody saying that they're going to buy it.
Yeah, there's that uncertainty.
Yeah, we just need to get a few things in place. But just an example there, last year we went to the Smallholders Festival at Ingleston and we had some fantastic conversations with many farmers that were also very interested in growing hemp. So it's like, what do we do with this information? We're going again on the 18th of October to Ingleston, and I'm sure that we'll end up with some more conversations of eager farmers to grow. And it's I take their name and their email and things, but I just say to them, well, you know, look at where you're going to sell it before you start, just so that you're not left with it. And I would like to think that Hemp It Up, my business, might be in a position that we would need more seeds than what we can grow. So I'll need to be looking elsewhere. So hopefully I'll be in a position in the next year or two that I can start buying from other farmers too.
And Wendy, what do you see as the most kind of exciting opportunities for hemp in the future?
Well, I think Ali's covered a lot of what's important with regard to the investment that we need. But the Scottish Government have a vision for agriculture, and that includes producing products that are more healthy and more climate resilient and better for nature. I can't see a better example than hemp that meets that vision for agriculture. And it's supposed to be supported by the Scottish Agricultural Act. There are several tiers within that act. And I think it's really important that hemp farming get support through that Scottish Agricultural Act. I think we do, as Ali said, we do need to grow it at scale. And for someone like Duncan Farms, who one unit of chickens eats 3 tonnes of hemp per month, small scale hemp farming won't meet their need. So it has to be on a large scale or not at all. And I think it's getting that joint up growing. Ali mentioned a cooperative, but some way of farmers working together to grow at scale and having the efficient processing facilities that they need in order to handle that at scale and get it out to where it's needed, whether that's a chicken farm or whether it's a bakery counter. We need to make sure we can produce the right amount in order for those companies to want the product. So it's just mapping supply and demand perfectly and getting the infrastructure from the Scottish Government to move it forward.
And maybe a bit more awareness amongst general public on hemp as a food as well to increase that demand.
Yeah, so we have a huge knowledge exchange programme. We go out to the schools to make children aware of the difference between agricultural hemp and cannabis, because we don't want children going into the fields thinking it's a crop that they can do something else with. So, you know, we have a schools education programme. We go out and talk to the public all the time. We're constantly raising awareness of the health benefits of the oil and the product as a food. And we'll continue to do that to support the business as we move ahead. But it really, right now, it does need some investment in infrastructure, or we're just not going to get over that hurdle. And I think it's something that we really need to do in Scotland.
Yeah. And I guess as an ingredient, what would you say is the best way to use hemp products in as consumers? Maybe Ali, I'll come to you on this, or Wendy, if you want to share some recipe ideas, or how do you use it in the kitchen yourself?
I hemp up pretty much every meal. My husband comes in and he'll go, there's hemp in this. I'm like, of course there is. But what I really like to do is, so wherever I see ingredients with olive oil, I swap it. Wherever I see ingredients with flour, like say a flapjack, I remove all of the flour and I put in a protein powder. I'm not needing it to rise, so it's just really to bind everything together. So flapjacks, I think my all-time favourite is hummus. I use the garlic hummus that I make, and I also use the extra virgin. Or you can use the chilli, you know, and drizzle it on. And there's so many swaps out there. And I think probably as well, like I've just recently bought Jamie Oliver's Eat Yourself Healthy book. There's loads and loads of healthy recipes in there that, you know, wherever you see extra virgin oil, olive oil, just swap it for hemp oil. So it's just little swaps here and there, and you can bring it into so many meals.
And can I double check? So I often get asked this. Can you use the oil? Is it just for salads or can you cook with it as well? Or has it got a high smoke point so you can use it for cooking or putting on your roast potatoes type of cooking, that type of thing?
Yeah, so we would say it's perfect to use to shallow fry or to use as a drizzle for salads and then as an ingredient, obviously. But we would also say it's really handy if you want to add some oil to an air fryer. We wouldn't advise deep fat frying. It's not the sort of oil that you would choose to deep fat fry in, but I don't think anyone does deep fat fry anymore. I think with air fryers being so commonplace, I think hemp oil could actually meet the needs of most cooking applications at the moment.
Yeah, so fine to use in a stir fry or kind of fry up some eggs.
Absolutely. I use it all the time as an oil to shallow fry in that sort of situations.
And with all your research and work in hemp, have you come across any kind of fascinating facts as a final thought?
Well, in the gold rush, when they had all the workers needing clothing, they created Levi Strauss jeans. And they made these jeans with hemp fabric. So nobody went back for a second pair because they were the most durable clothing ever. And so I think moving forward, Levi's changed to cotton so that people bought more than one pair.
And my interest, in fact, really is around a lot of the famous texts that were written on hemp paper. So the Declaration of Independence was actually written on hemp, but also Shakespeare wrote a lot of his texts on hemp. And one of the favourite quotes I have is Shakespeare said, "Invention in a noted weed," when he was referring to hemp. And, you know, straight away I took that as being because all of his famous plays were written on hemp paper. But there's another school of thought that maybe Shakespeare had access to another form of hemp. But who knows if that's true or not.
Okay, the mystery continues. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me in the Food Connections podcast today. It's certainly food for thought. And I've got a bottle of hemp oil in the kitchen cupboard, so I'll be experimenting with some of the recipes that you suggested, Ali, in future. Thank you both so much for your insight on hemp.
Thanks very much. It's been a really lovely experience.
Thanks for listening to this Food Connections podcast. Do check out the show notes for some really useful links related to this episode, including a link to an event at the Edinburgh Futures Institute on the 10th of November, which is exploring the economic potential of hemp in a changing Scottish climate. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could give the podcast a rating and leave a short review. It really would help others discover the show. If you know of someone who might enjoy this episode, please do share it with them. I'd also love to hear from you if you've any comments or guest suggestions, or if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, just get in touch. Thanks again for listening.